listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. In today's message, we are looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 on the second Sunday of Advent. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we look for signs of hope. We look for signs of peace. We look for your great shattering of the pain of this world. But only a baby came. A baby who would come and change the way we see things. It would change our lives and this world forever. And so, God, as we gather around your word today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. When you're going somewhere new, somewhere you've never been before, how do you prepare for such a thing? Well, I guess it depends on where you're going. Are you going on vacation, somewhere new? Or are you heading to a new store in a new part of town? You prepare for those in different ways. Now, if it's vacation to a new place, you probably want to research what you can do there, what sort of activities you might want to partake in. Bev and I were planning a trip for our 20th anniversary next year. And so we're trying to figure out where we'd like to go. And so part of the fun is that we're researching activities in areas that we're interested in to see what we can do together on the trip. But if you're traveling to, say, a new part of town, a new area for your shopping or for meetings or whatever, you would approach it differently. You might want to consult some maps if you're not sure of the neighborhood. You might want to put the address in your phone or your GPS so that you can hopefully be taken right to the front door. It's always a little worrisome when you hear those horrific GPS stories. You know, the family gets lost in the middle of the desert on a dirt road that really doesn't exist, but the GPS said, turn right here, so they turned right and end up in the middle of nowhere, lost. Now, unfortunately, people have actually died because of GPS errors, pointing them in the wrong direction, leaving them stranded without gas, hours from any help at all. You know, some of these roads that they're being pointed down aren't even roads. Now, last week, Anthony and I were going to a basketball game in Glace Bay. Now, I've been to Glace Bay a bunch of times, but usually it's like the one of four or five locations, and most of them are churches. And so the basketball game was at the middle school, which is in a part of town I hadn't been to before. And so I was getting ready. I looked it up online. I got, you know, the online maps. I even did the Google Street View, you know, when you actually get on the road and you can look around at the surroundings. So that's great. The problem was street views and online maps show you what it looks like in the daytime. We were going over for a game at 7:30, a couple hours after sunset. And as you know, streets and neighborhoods look very different when it's dark. But anyway, I looked it up. I saw where the streets were. Off we went. And so it looked like it was like a left, right, left. And of course, I took the left. I took the right. I couldn't see the left. And we end up pretty well downtown Glace Bay. And I'm like, we missed it. So I got my phone out, looked it up. Sure enough, we had missed it a number of blocks ago, so we turn around and go back. It was like 2 minutes out of the way. That was it. No big deal. So, and when I knew I wasn't sure where it was, I said, okay, we'll look for the school. We'll look for the school crosswalk signs. That'll point us in the right direction. There's none of that there. The school was further back than I thought, and there's no crosswalk signs at all, no school signs. It's like, okay. But we did get there. And then sure enough, on the way out, I missed the turn to head back to Sydney and heading towards Dominion because it's dark. I knew immediately that I had missed it because I could see it go off, but I had no time to react. So down, turn around, come back. Things don't always turn out like you'd hope, right? It's not hard to get lost in unfamiliar places. So I'm just saying, though, that it might be nice if Glace Bay put up some signs. Directions are funny things. How many of you here would be good at giving directions? And by good directions, I mean not drive down the road to Jimmy's store and turn left when Jimmy hasn't had a store there in 25 years. Because we do that, don't we? Like, you guys keep talking about low foods, and I don't know which one it is. Because when's the last time it was low food? Certainly not while I've been here. Generally, though, I have a good sense of direction. If I can find my bearings, if I know which way is which, I can find my way around just about anywhere, even Glace Bay at times. But, you know, it's a handy skill to have. And that's why I didn't bother getting my phone out until I knew for sure I had missed the school. Directions are important. Knowing where we're going is important. We don't want to get lost and end up wasting a whole bunch of time we might not have just because we didn't check our directions. The same can be said for just our life in general. We need good directions to get ahead, to make good decisions and move our lives in the right direction. And when we look at the world right now, we see that there's a lot of people in the world who are looking for direction in their lives right now. People they're trying hard, they're doing their best, but it just feels like we're all lost. And the problem is we're not exactly filling the news these days with examples of prime, wonderful leadership. I mean, the world leaders, they're threatening war. They're arguing. And they're doing it on social media, in the public sphere, for everyone to see, without context. It's a dangerous thing to be playing with. And we look at trade missions, which are going overseas. And what are they doing? They're trying to establish trade agreements. But they're saying that if you want to trade with us, you've got to follow our laws, which are obviously better than your laws. That's not a good way to build a relationship, is it? Come in demanding certain ways of life that we see as advanced over others. It seems to be the way things go. You should be doing it my way because obviously my way is better than your way. And we've all done that at times. We need good leadership. And now would be a really good time to get some. When we look at John the Baptist, people thought he was a revolutionary leader, especially by those who were following him. John was a guy, he didn't care what other people thought about him. He dressed funny. He ate weird food. But he didn't see himself as a leader. He saw himself as a servant. He saw his role to be to help people find the true leader. Now think back to our first encounter with John in the Bible. It's around the birth of Jesus. We're not reading it this year, but it's in the book of Luke. And John knew from the womb that there was someone greater than him coming. Think back to when Mary went to tell her cousin Elizabeth about the miraculous pregnancy she had. And Elizabeth herself being on in years, having a miraculous baby within herself at the same time. And when Mary showed up, before she even said a word, Elizabeth says the baby within her leapt for joy. John knew instinctively from the womb that there's in Mary's womb a very special child that was greater than him. And so John grew up to live his life as one who was dedicated to acknowledging that there is one greater than himself. John spent his life preparing others to recognize and follow the leader that he was going to be following, to see the one who is greater than all others. And this is where we find John in our reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning. John, I think he knows he is the one that the prophet Isaiah talked about in the book of Isaiah. And this is why he was born. This was his purpose to life. And Isaiah says, "The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This was John's calling in life. Not to lead, but to prepare others to be led, to recognize the true leader when he would come. John knew he was just a sign on the highway. He was the voice of the GPS. He was an important part of the journey, but he was not the end destination. He was just to point people in the right way. John is directing people to Jesus Christ, telling people how to find him and to be ready once they did find him. And people came from all over the countryside to hear John, to hear him preach and teach, to hear this important message he would share that the coming Messiah is near. He preached out in the countryside what it would take to prepare yourselves to meet Jesus and recognize him as the true leader, the Messiah, the promised one of God, the Savior of the world. And as part of his teaching, he would spend time baptizing people, baptizing them as a sign of their repentance from their sin, washed clean so that they would be pure and holy when they would meet Jesus, the promised one. All of this so that they would know who would give them the ultimate, the best directions in their lives. Now, we want to be very careful about who we put in charge of our lives. Who is our ultimate role model? Who is it we go to that we trust? Who is the prime example of how to live in this world? Who is our leader? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Trudeau? Is it Cecil Clark? Okay, so politicians aren't always good examples. Well, what about the entertainment industry, movies, music? Well, the news isn't full of good examples there right now either, is it? Let's look at it another way. Is there anyone we can think of in the world today who is a picture perfect of humanity, example of humanity? There are some great people out there, amazing people doing great things, but I can tell you they will all have flaws. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Nick, you're so amazing. You're so great. What about you? Well, I can honestly say I have my flaws too. I love to procrastinate. I'm not the best organized person in the world. I can be impatient. And those are just the things I'm willing to tell you. We all fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. There's only one who is perfect, who has ever lived on this earth, and we know him by a number of names. This time of year, we like to call him Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He is our shining example. He is the one true Son of God who came to this earth to be our ultimate guide and our leader. He is the one we follow. No one else can even come close to what he has to offer. No, not billionaires, not politicians, not entertainers, not preachers or teachers, not even incredibly charitable people. No one can come close because we all have our own sins that we carry. However, Jesus Christ is sinless. Jesus Christ is perfect. If you want someone to follow, he's the guy. He's the one. Now, sure, there's going to be, hopefully, lots of people along our own life journey that will show us the way and to show us the way to him, like John the Baptist, to point us in the right direction. But in the end, he is the one. He is the beginning and the end. He was the one who was there at the start of creation, and he is the one who will stand victorious at the end of it all. He is our Savior, our Lord. To put anyone in a position of authority over him between us and God puts us at risk of getting lost. It's Jesus to whom we look for direction in life, no one else. Why? Because he's God's Son. He knows the plans God has for us as individuals, for us as churches, for our community, for the whole world. Jesus knows God's plans far better than we can ever know. Over the generations of the Old Testament, We see people trying to put kings and prophets and other leaders between them and God. That they would follow these people without question. In doing so, they widened the chasm that had existed. This chasm formed when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned in the face of the Lord, a chasm started. And as humankind kept trying to put others in the place of God, the chasm widened. And then when you look through the Old Testament, there are times when the chasm was so wide, they didn't even know God was there at all. That's how wide the chasm had grown at times. Until one day, part of God's plan was to close that chasm, to get rid of it, to eliminate it. And this is when he sent his son Jesus into the world. In Jesus, God closed the gap between himself and humankind. Jesus was born to bring people back into relationship with God. And it works. Now, not everyone has bought into this. And there are places where there is still a chasm between humankind and God. But Jesus came to bring us all back together in the presence of our Lord. It's a pretty big job, isn't it? Even as we look at the world today. So this is where we come in. We are the guides. We're like John the Baptist. We're the ones pointing the way to the Savior. We are signposts on the road of life. We don't even really have to say anything. We just need to live as God is calling us to live. And that's often more than enough for some people. We just need to show Jesus is in us and that he has come to mend the world to offer hope and peace that only God can bring. So while the world leaders are threatening war, Jesus has come to offer us peace. The peace of God, which truthfully we all need. So this season of waiting for Christmas that we call Advent, may we know the peace offered to the world, promised by God, and prepare our hearts and our homes to receive the gift that he brings in the Christ child. Let's lay aside our desire to be great leaders. Let's lay aside our desires to be more like the ones people call great leaders. And may we follow the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior of the world. And may we receive the gift he brings on this second Sunday of Advent, that gift of peace. Jesus brings God's peace among us. May we know it. May we live it. May we share it in the name of Christ Jesus, the Lord, the ultimate guide over our lives, our leader who brings us home into the arms of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you bring to us a peace only your Father can bring. May we know this peace as we come to you in this holy season of waiting. As we wait, may our hearts be drawn ever closer as we anticipate the gift we celebrate this Christmas. Jesus, help us to reflect on your leadership in our lives over these coming weeks, and help us to see the ways in which we can overcome our sin and receive the peace you bring. Jesus, we thank you for your life and the life you offer us. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.